We've begun Pod Nova X anew with season 2. I know that was a cruddy rhyme, but hey, I mean, we're going off of very improv'd show notes. But anyways, apologies for the mess up and error files with the bonus episodes. We couldn't make it. The files got corrupted, and we were already late as it was. So we are now sticking to a more rigorous schedule. We are releasing episodes every Thursday now. We are going to be revamping, re-altering, and making season 2 of Pod Nova X more professional. Think of season 1 as the shaky before days. Think of season 2 as the shining and glorious after days. And so without further ado, we bring you to a new, revamped, and completely near official Pod Nova X Season 2. Oh, one note. We will be releasing our first book. I don't know when, though. Just let it be known that it is called The Semantics Are Vague. The Eyes in the Produce Drawer Are Watching You While You Sleep. Pod Nova X Script Season 1. As the title suggests, it will be about Pod Nova X, and it'll be the script from Season 1. So, with that little blip out of the way, I can see we're about to start recording based off the frantic notes and frantic messages I'm being given from outside the room. And so, without any further ado, Pod Nova X. There are things that you forget and things that you don't forget. We don't know these things that you forget and don't forget, but we do know one thing. Everything you forget goes somewhere. This is where those things go. This is a tale that I had to tell because, it was just too strange not to tell it. Too strange to keep it bottled up. But this is the tale of where lost things go. It was a regular afternoon. I believe it was a Thursday. I believe it was at 4 exactly. 4 on the nose. I knew this, well, because of my oven clock. Suppose it is not the most professional thing to have to tell the time based off of an oven clock and not something more professional, like a watch or a phone. But I'm not the most professional sort. And so, an oven clock it is. Remember that it was exactly 4 o'clock, because, well, that's when the midday train comes in. One word about the trains in our station before I continue. They leave at 12 p.m., 4 a.m., 9 a.m., and 4 p.m. Those are the only schedules. They leave and get back at those same times. It is a very rigorous schedule, and there are no exceptions. Suppose that it is a bit odd, but then again, I live in an odd town, in an odd country, in an odd world. And, as of all things, even the most bizarre things become natural and normal once they are subjected to routine. Anyways, the train had just come in, blaring its whistle and thundering across the tracks as it came. My house is situated a bit not too far away from the train station, so I could feel it rattling every bit of me, even my bones, especially my bones. In fact, I'm close enough that you could probably throw a rock or a stick or a bone, and then it would reach the train station and be crushed by an oncoming train. But the train schedule is on time and easy so that you do not have to worry about being crushed by the train, unless you are near the times I've already mentioned. Anyways, I had spent the past few hours frantically looking for my phone. Of course, everyone needs their phone, but I had somehow lost mine. I had lost an array of things over the past week. Socks, books, memos, all sorts of things. I even misplaced my pants one time. That is not my proudest occasion. I was about to walk outside, and I felt a breeze on my exposed legs, and I looked down. My pants were not there. It is not fine when you are about to leave and your pants are suddenly gone, especially when you have your hand on the door and the door is open a crack. The phone was the last straw. I was determined to find all the things that I had lost, and so I began the rigorous process of searching through the maze I call a home. My house is organized in an odd way. It is organized in a way that no one would understand except for me, and half of the time, even I don't understand it. Half of the time, even I have to wander confused and wary and unsure of how things work in this house that I live in. I know that is also quite embarrassing to say I don't understand the system of which my house operates, but it is a large house, and it is very cluttered, and there are stacks of things spiraling up like, I don't know, like towers and cities in the sky of my stuff in my house. It is a long process. I usually have to set aside a few things, a few days actually. I have to set aside a few days usually to get my things in order, because if I do not set aside a few days, it will be a long and tedious process over the course of weeks in my spare time. So I set aside 2 days for this particular task. I found my sock, no problem. I believe it was my sock. I don't think it matters. Socks are mixed and matched all the time. They're meant to be it. If you know a person who keeps their socks all neat and orderly, and every pair is the same as when they first got that, you say they're organized. I say they're insane. No one keeps their socks that neat. No one should, and no one is allowed to. It is a basic law of the universe. Socks are not meant to stay with their pairs. Socks are meant to travel and go free, to be mixed and matched, to have new styles tried out, to be lost on the street. I lost my stuff, usually a lot, because of how cluttered my house was, but this time it was different. I was losing things that I knew I had. One time I left my house with my right sock on. I remember it plainly because it was a red one with holes in it. It had a hole in my big toe and there was no amount of turning I could do that could make it better. And then when I got home, my sock was gone. I hadn't taken off my socks at all during that day, nor my shoes. I had a business meeting. It was as if my sock had just got up and walked away, or if it had vanished. I don't know really what happens to the things, but I do have a vague idea. Or at least I didn't know. The trail of things that I would find some stuff, and it would lead me in a trail. Eventually the trail led me out of my house. I don't know why or how those things stayed there for as long as they did. Once I found the trail, it took me quite a while to find the next step. Maybe they just appeared when I got closer. Maybe they disappeared when I was far away. I don't know. All I know is that it led me down Main Street, and it led me to the intersection of Oak and Avenue. There is a house on the intersection of Oak and Avenue, and that house is a mighty dreadful thing. Animals avoid it. Plants do not grow in that area. And no one is ever seen inside or outside of that house. No one is ever seen entering, and no one is ever seen leaving. But the trail continued on past that house, and I internally sighed a quick sigh of relief. I went on to Mulberry, then Ashen Oak, and then Forest Grove, and then I finally reached the actual Forest Grove. The Forest Grove Road leads out of town. There are four roads that lead out of town. Forest Grove, Midnight Lane, and I-84, and Road. The last road nobody really knows what it's called for. There are no recollections or information of it in any town or city hall memos, and there are no signs along it, so they just simply call it Road. The I-84 leads out to the intersection, and Midnight Path, I believe, leads to another town. The road leads nowhere, or at least no one can believe it leads anywhere. You can walk along that path for hours and never get any further. Well, I mean, you can get further, but you can't get to a destination. It's just that same stretch of path over and over and over and over again. Anyone who attempts to walk down it, you can just kiss your life goodbye. You'll probably never reach the end or the beginning again, depending on which is your point of view. Forest Grove leads to a big, bushy forest just on the edge of town. It is a nature preserve of some sorts, although no one ever knew what it was for. It wasn't a national park, it wasn't some sacred area, it was just a preserve. I believe that, well, something was allowing that to be a preserve, but I followed the trail of things in. By now I had several bags of things, and I dropped them off at various friends' house, claiming that I would come back and get them later. Well, of course I would. I mean, it's not like they would steal them. They were friends. They were trusted friends. And so I went into Forest Grove. Of course, Forest Grove isn't a national park, so trespassing is forbidden, but I bartered on the fact that my phone, which I had not found yet, would be there, as well as other items. I had lost quite a lot of things. As I walked deeper and deeper and deeper into Forest Grove, there were, I don't know, changes in everything. It just seemed to get darker and quieter and quieter and quieter until it was sort of reverse noise. I tried to speak once and nothing came out. I tried with all my might. I tried screaming and yelling and shouting and pushing and jumping and everything I could, but nothing was to avail. There was no sound that deep into Forest Grove. And then I approached the heart of the wood. The heart of the wood was a large oak tree. It had a beating heart. Alive, I believe, human heart. Did someone lose that too? Did someone lose all of these things? The tree had long and gnarled branches. In fact, I believe, did one of them try to touch me when I came in? Try to drag me in? I could feel that this tree had something to do with the missing things, so I declared in my strongest and most firm voice, "I am looking for my things. Do you have any information about where my things are?" And the tree, I didn't expect the tree to reply, but it did. It didn't reply using any language I knew, or any language of this world. It replied using rustling. Rustling in the trees and the leaves and shaking in the earth and the roots. And somehow, I understood it. It said, "I am the old one. I am the new one. I am everything that is lost and everything that is found. Things that are lost come here. Have you been lost?" And I replied with a no. "But you are here," the tree replied. "You are here, and so you are lost." This is the part of the story that begins to get intense. I replied firmly, "No, I am not. I am not. What are you?" The tree replied with its rustling, "I am everything. I am nothing. I am lost. I am found." "That doesn't answer my question," I replied. "What are you? Why are you here? What is this?" The tree replied simply, "This is the place of all lost things." "What does that mean, though? What does that mean?" "And now, you are lost, too. You are lost, and so you must stay here. Stay here and draw more people in." I didn't stay. I honestly was not going to stay there with that thing, that tree. I didn't find my phone, but I did manage to do something else. I turned to run, but the tree dragged me and pulled me back in. "You will never escape now," the branches whispered in my ear. "You will never escape. You are lost. You are lost just as all of us in this world eventually will come here to die. Eventually we'll be lost. But I have never had a human get lost before. This will be excellent. All your friends will come and look for you, and they too will be lost. All their friends will come and look, and they too will be lost. Eventually I will have the world marching here, to be consumed and devoured, and to become one with me." I kicked and I fought, but the tree drew me closer to that ever-beating heart. I eventually decided to play dead. I do realize that wouldn't have helped because I would still be lost, but I had a vague feeling that death would make the tree hesitant, and it did. It gave me just enough time to break off the branch and jab it into the still beating heart. I jabbed and jabbed and jabbed, and the tree screamed, this time not using branches and rustling, but with human sounds. It was an awful sort of screech that was garbled and jumbled and didn't seem like any human language I or anyone ever knew. And then the tree fell silent, and I pulled the stick out, and along with it came the heart. And then down came a tumbling of hundreds of things that people had lost. They were animals, too. I'm not going to go into what the tree did to those animals. I don't feel like I want to have the nightmares again. And there, after everything had fallen out, there on the top of the pile was my phone. All in all, it was a fine day, and a fine experience, except for the tree. I kept the heart. I didn't feel like I trusted to leave it there. Didn't feel like I trusted that it would stay separated from the tree. And maybe, just maybe, there would be one less forgotten place in the world. One less place where things are lost. Because I doubt that tree, as insane as it was and as powerful as it was, is the only lost place thing in the world. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But I do not know for sure. It could be, and I could have just doomed the world to remembering and knowing everything, and keeping everything. Or I could have just narrowed down my own little town of Bristol. I kept the heart, and I still have it now. It's still beating on my... I got it framed and bronzed, and it's on a plaster statue now. It's sitting on my mantle, and it's still beating. Somewhere out there is a pile of things that have been lost, spilling from a tree with a heart-shaped hole. Somewhere more, there are things that still happen and no one notices them. Further on beyond that is nothingness and space and void, and no one ever notices or decides anything with that. But I killed the whispering tree, and I am happy with that tale. For I now know that things among all things, lost things will go somewhere, and lost things can return. Lost things aren't lost forever, but they can be if you are foolish enough to not go looking for them, or foolish enough to not have a strong wit and play dead when you believe you should. I went back, though. I went back to where the tree was a few weeks later. This has no real importance to the story, but I believe it might. I believe this might be the final catch to the story. I went back there, and the pile of things was gone. I can only assume moved to another lost things place, or maybe returned to their owners. The tree was gone, and its hole was a smoking pit, about 15 meters down. No animal would ever go in there, and no animal would ever come out. I doubt anything can survive in that hole. This has been Pod Nova X, Season 2, Episode 1. the Lost Tree Place. Thank you again for listening to Pod Nova X, and we appreciate user feedback. Thank you for listening, and as always, remember, things that you lose might just wind up back here. Things that you don't lose might make you lost yourself.